cha 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 cha. Welcome, everybody, to Shooting the Shit with Two Nerdy Black Guys. I'm David Majors, my co-host, the other nerdy black guy, King Kaz on the interwebs, host of the Drunk Kids Gaming Show, courtesy of all things DKG, a Mr. Brandon Cooper. King Kaz, how you be, good sir? It's been a little while, hasn't it?
It's been a relative while, yes.
But, you know, again, we've both been doing our own thing. We each have our separate side projects, but the band is getting back together for one more ride. I say, Kaz, at least we should at least try and get to 100.
Yeah, no, I it's one of those things where this show was designed to kind of keep us level-headed and straight, and I think that's what has happened. Is when we need it, we do it, and then when we're like, all right, you know what, I'm good, and like, all right, I got everything together, then like as soon as we drop something, we're like, oh shit, I gotta go talk to we just drop things and then we come back and do an episode. It's how it works. This is therapy for me and David.
It feels like really not much has changed between you and I. Although I should tell you, I did turn heel.
Yeah.
I'm making the internet pay for its consequences. My tolerance for everyone's shitposting and mean-spiritedness has run out. So I'm cracking down, Kaz.
I'm taking names.
I'm bringing out the belt, and I'm issuing some corporal punishment by way of internet pain and regret.
Writing citations?
No, I'm using the belt, and I don't mean the night attack belt where somebody said a bad word or something. I mean I'm just, like somebody's dad.
Corporal punishment.
That's right. Now it's your turn, Mr. Cooper. It's finally your turn. Now,
pay for my crimes. I plead the fifth.
Do we really need to get Ryan Carmichael on this podcast again?
That girl was going to write that Tumblr post anyway.
Because I know she would be a key witness in the trial of Brandon Cooper.
Oh, no, she likes me.
See, cool. In previous times, I would have been your defense attorney, Kaz, but no more! It is I that will be the prosecutor, and the tables have turned, Charlie Murphy. So, Kaz, you, more than anybody else I know, is a pretty big fan of the Batman franchise. You're a big Bat fan, as they are. Now,
the Bat,
a couple of...
The Gotham, the Dead Sidekicks. God, the Dead Sidekicks.
Now, I read an article on Deadspin from a gentleman named Albert Bernecco a few days ago, and the title itself was great. And the thing is that
the title
it wasn't
was so weird.
It's fantastic. And the thing is that it wasn't clickbait either. It was a full, well-written, long article. And I will simply say the title. And Kaz, give me your early take from Deadspin. Batman is a corny dingus, and Superman should whomp his ass. Brandon Cooper, your take.
This sounds like the take of the left wing of the Superman fans, who are constantly butthurt, about everything. Is what I initially take that as, but there is more than two paragraphs, so I'm going to assume this gentleman had some very thought out word comment things.
Well,
paraphrase.
When I read it, I rather enjoyed it because it echoed a few of my sentiments regarding Batman and the whole idea of Batman taking on Superman, because it starts out simply saying the upcoming movie, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, it is a stupid-ass movie that we all already know what it will be. Batman and Superman won't like each other, they'll fight, and then they'll realize, oh, there's a greater threat. 2 years later, Justice League. And then we get our real movie.
One, it's within this universe that they're setting up, but I will go and take from what we have already had and what we already know in the kind of Batman Superman mythos, right? Which is the whole like kind of Dark Knight or some of the other stuff that has existed where Batman and Superman may clash heads. Excuse me. And yes, in most of those, Batman does come out on top in one way or another. Either he outsmarts Superman. Now, I will say this. I will say this. When people do think of the word fight, they do think of a physical altercation. They do think of people throwing fists and doing that. And a lot of the Batman Superman fights have kind of come down to Batman outsmarting Superman and not giving in to his strength and his superior superhuman being, you know, in a sense.
And I call bullshit on this because Superman was created as a god amongst men. Superman was created to literally be unbeatable. And, you know, this is the problem that I have with comic books in general. Because comic books always have to find some kind of goddamn loophole for their own rules.
We don't do that in anime.
No. Oh, we're going to talk about Goku versus Superman in a second. And I will even further prove that the whole thing about Batman versus Superman is bullshit. I will bring this back, Brandon Cooper. Don't you worry yourself about that. Anime3000.com. Now, the whole thing I have with comic books and the whole Batman-Superman thing is that Batman fans will always say, oh, if Batman has 24 hours of prep time, he can beat anybody. His parents are dead. Also, apparently, someone came up with the idea of giving bats the old plot device of always saying, hey, because Batman's paranoid and absolutely insane as insane as any of his rogues, he always keeps a little bit of kryptonite handy in his utility belt. Just in case, you guys, just in case Superman goes rogue, I've got a little kryptonite, just in case. Bullshit! Bullshit! This is a comic book bullshit out. It is an out device that everyone is always trying to look for some kind of out, for some kind of way to show Superman having some kind of vulnerability when, hello, it's Superman. And I will admit, being the anime fan, most recently, the guys at Screw Attack had a second death battle between Goku and Superman. And yeah, Superman won the first one, and the anime fans were pissed. And the Screw Attack guys were like, okay, we'll do another one. And this time we'll have Goku go up to Super Saiyan God. Okay, we get it. And they had Superman win again. And they did a great job of explaining why that he would still beat Goku. Because Goku is a man that can surpass any limit that is put in front of him. Superman has absolutely no limits. Come on. We all realize that, and that at its core, Superman is essentially an unbeatable god character.
So, at its core, yes, but they have on more than one occasion broken him down or shown ways in which he could have weakness and show weakness. And a lot of it usually rolls to the fact of him limiting himself and the potential of his power, the very kind of anime style thing. But a lot of it really is, there is that very stark similarity between him and Goku of the fact that there are two people who, if they were on their own planets, yes, they'd still be somewhat strong, but they wouldn't be the strongest person there necessarily. It's the fact that they are these beings who are... Superman is essentially the strongest person on this planet because the factor of him being here makes him stronger and shit like that. Whereas the whole Goku thing is the harder he trains, the stronger he becomes, the more he fights, the more, you know, all that stuff. Which to me has a lot more limitless potential than the Superman thing. And on a many occasion, there have been bad guys that have come across in the Superman mythos that have just straight out physically matched him. But there is the thing that he, while having a lot of these powers and stuff like that, he's not the greatest mind in the DC universe. Nor is Batman for that part either, but Batman is
Don't tell that to him though.
You don't tell that to Batman, because then he'll punch you and hang you off of a building, most likely. But
there's someone with a better mind than me. Where is he?
But as you go along, what the thing I think everybody fails to have in comparison is, Batman is the greatest hero of the human beings that there are. Of the straight up, I'm a human, there is nothing special about me except for the fact that I tend to outthink most people. Which is essentially what it boils down to. Like, Batman used to be
this big... And he's got billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And he has beyond military grade and industry at his disposal.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the disposable, and he had the disposable income to train for decades in the martial arts, and detective work, and criminology.
Yes, and those are all things that he has and uses to his advantage most of the time. A lot of the time, you'll find now, Batman will be the kind of bring to everything, while the other superheroes, the other people of the Justice League, most of the time, in outside of the Batman comic books, will do all the kind of heavy work against the more, you know, superpowered opponents. Whereas Batman will do the kind of take to the shadows, observe, figure things out kind of thing. That kind of the role he plays. He's a ninja of sorts. But the few times where it has come down to the Batman-Superman thing, the first time in kind of, as I know in comic books, like when I read, it was in, I think it's the World's Greatest comic book, where kind of Batman gets the upper hand. It's because a Superman essentially is like, oh, this is just a dude in a costume. Like, I don't need to, like, have my guard up or whatever. And Batman kind of got the upper hand in that initial reaction, because Superman, like, looked down upon him. Much like Broly looked down upon Goku, because Broly thought he was the greatest Saiyan in the universe. As did Vegeta. But So as they
but you know what? You know what Batman and Brawly and Vegeta all have in common? They all have maniacal arrogance in common. They are the ones that will scream and yell or brood about how they are just the king shit. Until either Goku or Superman comes along and is like, oh, hey guys, I just saved everybody. And they're like, wait, what? God damn it! This fucking guy! And he's so nice, too! Bastard!
Mm-hmm. They are people, especially the comparison of Vegeta to Batman, right? There are two people who essentially could be, one of them was, bad guys, but they're not, you know? But they damn sure still act like it. You know, whereas Batman does not trust anyone but Batman, which has been shown time and time again to even, like, ruin his own relationships with his sidekicks.
His surrogate children and his biological children, by the way. although his biological children kind of ended up being kind of a little shit, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah, no, swear to God, he needs a spanking. He needs Damian that belt you were talking about.
Damian Wayne needs a smack with the belt.
Yeah. But can you blame him? Like, look who he was initially raised by. He was raised by fucking Ra's al Ghul and Talia, like... That's fucking great parenting. That's usually what it is. It's usually, for the most part, Superman looks down upon Batman, and then Batman uses that to his advantage to get the upper hand most of the time. Now,
but that's really that's really the only way that I can buy to where Superman's just like, okay, Bruce, all right, you're smarter than me. You've got a cool car. Your house is better than mine. Okay. All right. And then Batman loses his shit.
Yeah. There's a great thing in one of the comic books I have called Hush, where a lot of the Justice League gets their minds taken over. And in one of the parts, Batman has to fight Superman, but there's a part where they kind of fight, and then he does his Batman thing and ninjas the fuck away, and he like runs off so that Superman will chase him to give himself a little bit of an advantage or whatever. A lot of the dialogue that happens throughout that part happens in Batman's mind, where you get to this part, he's hiding in the sewers, and he's like, okay, this place is made of lead, I know he can't see me in here, but I know he's gonna catch up, because his other senses will be able to figure out that I'm in here. He's like, alright, so I have to assess the situation. I know how far this tunnel goes, I know where it comes out. He's like, alright, I know... In that initial fight right now, he's not using his full strength, but he still broke two of my ribs, and I think he fractured my arm. Like, so he's like, all right, but he's like, I don't have kryptonite on me. And he's just like, the only stash of kryptonite that I know is like in this place. It would take me this long to get there. By the time I get there, he'll probably kill me. Like, so he's like, I gotta buy time. So he's like, fuck, I'm gonna have to fight him again to like, throw him off and then get away from him again to buy myself that time. And like, he goes through that and he comes out of it fucked up, but it's just you see him, like, they did this really cool thing of him laying out how to stay ahead of Superman, not how to beat him, but stay ahead of him long enough to then give himself a little bit of an advantage, to give himself that thinking time that he wanted and needed. But it wasn't ever this thing where he's just like, oh, all right, all I'm going to do is, like, fucking punch him in the dick and, like, and I win. You know, it's never that. It's just...
No, no. But the idea that Batman can just out-strategize anything and everything is something that I've always seen as... It's almost like Deadpool meme levels of saturation. Like, enough with the Batman having 24 hours of prep time. Enough of that.
Yeah, and I will say that is also bullshit because, and this is giving it to kind of Batman in a sense, but if you read through the comic books, he ends up in situations where he thinks it's going to go one way, it doesn't go that way, and then he fucking thinks on his feet. And he's just, he's good at that. He's good at putting himself in the dangerous situation and then thinking of the way out of it. He's very Sherlock Holmes, Doctor Who-esque in the, oh, this is what's actually going on. Well, let me, okay, let's do this, you know, kind of thing. Where I will
I'm going to let you finish, but I want to throw a question out.
Okay, I was just going to say, like, kind of a better comparison is that mind match in the good bits of Death Note between Light and L, where it's like, okay, I have the upper hand right now. Oh, shit, you already thought I was going to do that, but I knew you thought I was going to do that, so I'm going to do this. Oh, fuck you, you thought that I thought that I was going to, you know, it that shit happens in Batman's mind.
Did you see Star Trek Into Darkness?
Yes.
Do you remember the third act where Khan Noonien Singh and Spock were kind of doing an on the fly mental battle of wits with one another?
I remember that. Oh, shit. I know
that's
that
kind of what it sounds like.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Like that's, but there are very few people in the realms that can compete mentally on that level with Batman besides Ra's al Ghul and the Joker. But the Joker is just because he's fucking infinitely crazy.
What about Dr. Fate?
Yeah. I mean, there are other people. They're, you know, but they're not always in the Batman mythos. So you don't always get to see those people.
All right. Let me ask you a question now.
Yeah.
Is Gotham City better with Batman or without? Addendum, is Metropolis better with Superman or without?
See, here's always been my thing, right? Like, it's the thing that they said in one of the movies, which is the hero that you need, right? So, Gotham seems to attract the fucked up, like the most fucked up shit, you know, of super villainy, whereas like Gotham is just a fucking cesspool, you know. It's just a city that sometimes you're just like, it'd be better off if you just fucking, after the second game, Raccoon City'd it and just nuked it. Like, and Batman, unfortunately for his character, is caught in the middle of that, whereas Batman himself has no problems being in the slums and doing that shit, but who he is as a person, Bruce Wayne, comes from the upper crust, and you know, he also has a disdain for those people just as much, you know. Where, and like, that's the other thing you said this person brought up, the brooding Bruce Wayne, the brooding billionaire boy who has nothing better to do with his money than right wrongs. Yes, the money is a means to an end, just like it is for Iron Man. Iron Man is this super genius who can outthink everybody, and then also has this superpowered rocket suit that makes him, you know.
Although Batman has abandonment issues from his parents, Iron Man has a problem with the bottle. So they each have their own very serious psychological issues.
Yes. Because it is the fact that they are supposed to be mere men who, it's not to say that without the right training anybody couldn't be them, because anybody could, but they have to have their flaws to be mere men who can do these things. Like, for the only other person I can think about that I always think about on that level is Peter Parker. Even though he does have a superpower, his downfall most of the time is his love for his friends and his family. Because many a time, you know, how many times has Mary Jane got caught? How many times has a girl that Peter Parker loved been killed, or Aunt May been kidnapped by somebody because, you know, that's the only way they could think to get to Spider-Man.
He's not very good at keeping his secret identity, Peter Parker.
No, no, he's not. Well, who is, though? You know?
People apparently still don't know that Superman is Clark Kent, right? Even though he's, like, a big-time blogger now, and he runs his own news website. Good for Clark Kent. Good for Clark Kent, by the way, knowing when print media was dying and leaving the Daily Planet, by the way. That was... You know, people want to say that Superman isn't smart, but that was pretty perceptive on Clark Kent's part, catching on to, print media is starting to die out. I'm going to go ahead and do my own kind of Huffington Post thing where I report the news. And hey, he did it. So hey, Superman showing a little intelligence, a little awareness, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Goku has the excuse of suffering brain damage as a kid. He got dropped on his head or fell on his head or something. So Goku, more than likely, is severely brain damaged. So, yeah. No, dude, I've been watching Dragon Ball Super. It's about 4 episodes in. I completely forgot just how naive and how almost completely Forrest Gump levels of clueless Goku really is.
You know what's funny is I forget if it was at a convention or something I was looking at, but I was listening to a conversation of people talk about how Goku might be one of the worst villains in the Dragon Ball mythos because of the fact that he takes all his friends and puts them up against these superpowered beings that he could defeat. But he's like, no, you get in there and fight too. Come on, come have a little fun. And they're like, no, go ahead, Goku. We got, like, you got this. Go do it. No, trust me. You could fight that guy. Or how he takes his children and he's just like,
he did
you
that
go fight
to
him.
His
you go
son. His son, for God's sakes. And by the way, I just want to go on the record. I've given Vegeta a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm.
At least he takes care of his kids. If you watch DBZ and if you've been watching Dragon Ball Super, he actually, like, interacts and takes care of Trunks like a father. Vegeta's actually an okay dad to Trunks. Goku, on the other hand, at the end of Dragon Ball Z, what did he do? He left to go train with Oob. During the Cell Saga, what did he do? He said, Gohan, you can beat Cell. Go for it. Go nuts. He let, early on in the series, when Gohan was like six years old, he said, oh, hey, Piccolo, you're my former enemy. You nearly killed me a bunch of times, and I killed your dad. And, you know, we got some heat, but here, train my son. Well, take my son. Don't tell my wife. For the love of God, don't tell my wife. And, yeah, go ahead. He's all yours.
It was less
than
that.
Now, and in Piccolo. Dragon Ball Super, have you started Dragon Ball Super?
I have not. I've been trying to catch up on all the other anime from the last 2 seasons I've been missing out on.
He went off to go train with King Kai again in episode 1. Episode 1! Oh, I'm going off to train with King Kai! Bye!
Oh, okay.
At least Vegeta takes care of his kids. And Bruce Wayne, he tries to take care of his surrogate children, but he's so fucked up that he always blows it.
Yeah, because he usually what happens is it's that weird thing where they kind of find him and he's like, no, and then they're like, but please, I need to, like, learn to fight and like defend, you know, the people that I've lost. And he's like,
my parents died too.
Like, yeah, oh. And then Alfred's like, oh, they remind me of you, young Master Wayne. And he's like, fine, I'll fucking train them. And then he fucking, like, he goes the really dark kind of anime route to train people where he's just like, all right, I'm going to drop you in this fucking forest with a fucking werewolf. Like, come back. Like, come back and I'll give you a costume.
And here's the thing. They all pull it off. So, to that extent, he's pretty good at raising them. It's just that at the whole, you know, family warmth side of things that they really only get from Alfred.
There is a good bit, but of course
he kind of blows it. He blows it.
Of course, it's shitty ass Damien, where he's just like, he's trying to teach him kind of like family shit, and he's just like, hey, you know, you got to understand, like, family is important, you know, and all this shit. And he's like taking him so he could, like, you know, do the yearly, oh, go visit my parents bullshit. And Damien's just like, oh my God, you brooding bitch, get over it. Like,
here's the thing about Damien Wayne. Damien Wayne is so much of the Al Ghul, but he is also so much Bruce Wayne's son, and that he really just needs to get smacked. He just needs to get smacked a couple of times. He really does. Like, are there any parents in the DC universe that would actually institute corporal punishment on their kids? I feel like that's something that should have happened a long time ago. Like, maybe sometime in the 80s, where, maybe it happened in Marvel, or maybe it'll happen sometime in the future in Marvel, where, I don't know, Scott Summers and Jean Grey will get back together for the 18th time, and they'll have kids.
Oh, you
want
to talk about some brooding-ass motherfuckers? Jesus Christ.
We're not talking about the Canadian here. No, we're not. Nope. No. But like I said, maybe somewhere down the line, because Marvel likes to be all real and shit, that they'll have, like, one of the Fantastic Four. Reed Richards and the Invisible Woman. They'll have a kid. And their, like, 9-year-old kid is, he's got powers of his own, whatever. And he's just acting up. He's just...
Oh, no, Reed is the, or was the type of person, he would have slapped a bitch.
I love Reed Richards. I love Mr. Fantastic. And that just, that just cements it even further. His kid would have been, like, acting up in school, getting bad grades or whatever, and then there would be a parent-teacher conference. And, you know, the press would cover it. Oh, Mr. Fantastic and the Invisible Woman are going to parent-teacher conference tonight. And they'd find out that their kid would be acting up. And then later that evening, you know, that kid would get the belt. That would be great. See, now that would be something for all of the nerd websites to talk about, rather than, oh, Wolverine's gonna die and then come back in 6 months. That would be a hell of a lot more interesting.
Speaking of the Fantastic Four, I did want to ask you this. Have you seen the trailers?
Truthfully, I have been completely avoiding that.
Okay. All right.
Because I've heard it's so bad.
I will say the last trailer that came out, the one of the more recent ones, made me feel a slight bit better about this than previous ones. I'm still not super sold on the everybody's a young kid thing, instead of having the age range like you've always had in the Fantastic Four. But I will say I do feel slightly better than I did before going into this movie, coming off that last trailer.
Well, are you going to go see it?
I might go see it, yeah. I might go see it.
I'm probably going to be seeing the new DBZ movie this weekend. Oh. So I'm going to be doing something for A3K for that. Nice. So yeah, that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, so in our trailer talk, you brought this up, but I've studied back and forth the Suicide Squad trailer, which I wasn't a big reader of the Suicide Squad, I will admit, in its comic book form.
See the DC animated movie from a few years ago?
No. That was one of the ones I meant to check out in that grouping of them that you told me to check out.
It was really fun. The Suicide Squad animated movie was really fun.
But I've kind of done my little bit of Wikipedia research and the comic book research on the Suicide Squad, and I've come to some terms with some of the things in there. There's still some things I'm not happy about. So for this one, I'll put on my feminist hat. I hate that Harley Quinn style that they have for her in the movies. The character seems fine. The character seems totally cool. I just hate how they dressed her. Because she looks like something out of the goddamn 80s. It's not even like the skimpiness of it. It just looks like everybody else is kind of modernized, and then they look like they're like, what would if Harley had looked like in the 80s? You know, like, and I'm just like, no, why?
Maybe it's just because she's crazy.
In our conversation of cop outs, that's a goddamn cop out.
It is.
And then the other thing I will say,
maybe she's a hipster.
Oh God. Well, speaking of hipsters in that trailer, right? I will give Jared Leto the acting portion of the prize money, but the styling portions by the directors and writers, I want to fucking slap someone. I do not like the way this Joker looks at all. Like, I am in no way at all impressed by this.
Here's the thing. I like it because it is so drastically different.
Yeah, So, there were the grouping of people who had issues with the Heath Ledger Joker, right? I loved it. I loved the styling of it. And then when I got see it...
It totally turned everything around.
Yeah, and then when I got to see it in motion and see him portray that character, I really liked it as well. But when it really comes down to it, like, this version of the Joker, where I understand it's supposed to be based in realism. Like, if somebody was that fucking insane in the real world, what would they look like? You know, and they would probably have a bunch of tattoos and shit like that. But there was just seeing that all together and I guess having the mythos in my head of what the Joker is and what the Joker sounds like, to me, just for the longest time,
it's too much. It's too much.
Yeah. It's just, I couldn't take it.
I think of it like this. I look at Harley, because this is a Suicide Squad movie, and then I look at Joker second, not first. And I look at the two of them together, and I say, yeah, this makes sense for this movie. For the Suicide Squad, this makes sense. Because this isn't going to be something that is going to be a typical superhero movie. Thank fucking God. Kaz, I'm sorry. I'm really getting some superhero movie fatigue. Suicide Squad is the only thing that I'm looking forward to in this genre in the next couple of years, and it's only because it is so dramatically different.
Yeah, I agree with you. As far as, like, I'm really going to have to come at this from a different mindset. Like, I'm really, really, really going to have to come at this from a different mindset of, like I'm going to have to forget a lot of the stuff that has come before going into this, because if not, it's gonna ruin the experience of this movie for me. And I feel like this could be a really good, fun movie if I just go into it. But that being said, god damn, I hate those costumes, both of them. I just hate them. I just fucking hate them, dude. Like, they're killing me, you know? They're really literally killing me.
I like it because it is not conventional. I like that it has completely broken the norm. And that is needed, in my opinion. Maybe I'm just tired of superhero movies, man. I don't know.
So two other things in our movie discussion this week, before we wrap it up. There's gonna be a new DC animated movie.
Go on.
It's going to be a Batman one, but it's going to be based on The Killing Joke.
Yeah.
And rumor has it, and I think one person is locked in. I'm not sure about the other, but Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy have been going to the Twitters and other social media saying, if this is what's getting made, I need to be a part of it. And
well,
I'm excited about that.
I'm sure that they would love it, and I'm sure a lot of fans would love it. It's just a matter of if DC and Warner Brothers want to do it.
No,
so,
they're doing it. That
no, I mean,
that
if they want to have the voice, if they want to have the voices,
yeah. But
Killing Joke. Yes, it's Alan Moore.
It is. Alan Moore is a great writer. How dare you? How dare you sigh at the name Alan Moore? He wrote some of the best Teen Titans shit there is.
Yeah, and he did do V for Vendetta.
And the other thing,
you know me, man. I'm tired of Batman. I'm so tired of Batman.
I know, but this is more about the Joker. But it's a DC animated movie, so you know it's going to be good. You know they have not done wrong in the DC animated universe.
I know, but enough with Batman. I'm going to put my feminist hat on for a second. Can we get another Wonder Woman animated movie? Or how about the Wonder Woman live action movie?
That's coming. Because she's actually, I don't know if you've seen the trailers for the Batman Superman movie, but she's very prominently in the trailer.
Yes, she is.
So we're going to get to see her really early.
Wonder Woman!
And I bet you, and this is my Suge Knight to the East Coast thing right here, and right now, I'm just saying, I bet you Wonder Woman's gonna get a lot better treatment than fucking Black Widow is in the fucking Marvel fucking universe.
Yes, she will. We still don't know if they're gonna make a Black Widow movie. We still don't know!
Black Widow movie. Fuck them.
They should, though. They really should.
They should. They really
Scarlett Johansson deserves that. She deserves it.
Yeah, maybe she should have played fucking Wonder Woman. Oh, no.
Well, she's like locked up to Marvel for life, man. You can't cross the streams. You can't cross the streams.
Well, unless you're fucking, what's his goddamn face? Who's playing Deadpool, then you can.
Well, that's because nobody liked Green Lantern. Nobody liked that movie.
Nobody liked him as Deadpool when he did Deadpool the first time.
Well, yeah, that's because Wolverine was there and he fucked it all up.
So this is the other thing I have to bring up. And I don't, because we haven't done this show in so long, I don't know if we've talked about it or not, but we're getting more anime movies. And we're getting more live action ones, and unfortunately,
I can't. I can't. Not here. Not here. I get so much of that elsewhere. I'm sorry, Kaz. I can't.
I just have to say this, right? The last few anime movies that have come out before this that were live action, the Rurouni Kenshin, and what was the other one that came out that was really good? I can't remember. But Rurouni Kenshin was amazing. I still have not seen it, but I've watched it, like I've watched clips and trailers of it, and I keep spoiling myself on it, and I need to just sit down and watch it. The Rurouni Kenshin one was amazing. It was really fucking good. And then you look at the trailer for this one. I won't even mention it. I won't even say the name. I'm just saying. You look at the trailer for this one, and it looks like something that some kids made while they were at a convention. And then just threw a lot of After Effects at it. And I'm just like, why? Why? Why?
Because it will make money.
No. This is where we need to fight the system. This is this shit, right? You take a really popular franchise and you're like, holy shit, it's really fucking popular. We need to find a way to get even more money out of this fucking franchise instead of just putting out goddamn
season
two. Also, Kes,
season two won't be starting until won't even start production. And I know the anime you're talking
about.
Wait,
hold on. I thought it already started production.
No, it was just out on A&N a few days ago, like yesterday.
I'm gonna shake a baby.
Season two won't even start production until 2016.
Do they not understand that this is now going to just ruin the momentum that they created like with the first season of that anime.
Like, they're gonna keep throwing out movies, and something I reported on A3K last week, there's gonna be a junior high anime series. They're gonna milk it dry, man. They're gonna milk it dry. All right, real quick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How was Otakon?
It was amazingly fun. I fell off the world after Otakon, which is why I haven't gotten all this stuff to
recovery time.
Good friend Sean, I finally got the videos over to him. I'm finishing up the last of the photos or whatever. But like you said, being that we have both made ourselves very busy people on the internet, like I had to shut down production on a lot of DKG stuff to go do Otakon. So then coming back to that, there was just like a mountain of shit to try to revamp and redo and like get going again. And also put some people in non-paid positions so to help get shit done. But luckily we have a lot of good friends who just, they love doing the things that they do, so they love being helpful. But goddamn, man, it was a good fun con. I got to spend some time with Sean. We hung out in the press room a few times.
And Sean Russell of Anime 3000.
Yeah, we hung out in the press room a few times and just had some real fun conversations about content creating and doing all those things. And then other than that...
I'm glad you two got to have that discussion, because you know me, after a minute I'm saying, oh, I hate talking about this!
Yeah.
So I'm glad you got to have that conversation with him.
And then other than that, I just did my thing. I hung out with the other photographers, took a lot of fun.
Did you see Catherine? Did you see Catherine?
I saw her for like a minute, and I'm pretty sure she may not remember that she saw me. She was having a lot of fun.
Yes.
but yeah, no, I did see her. I did say hello. We did say our hellos. I got to hang out with some other good friends from the internet. So that was good.
All right, my turn. Well, this is very difficult for me to talk about. No secret. Recent events in my life have turned things around from a very negative place to a very, very good place. To the point where things were really, really shitty. To where now they're pretty good. Like I've turned things around. So much so that I'm going to Atlanta for Dragon Con.
Whoop whoop. Better you than me.
Yep. I'm diving deep into the Diamond Club extravaganza once again. This will be the first time I've gone since 2013. And I'm excited. I hope to start repaying the people that were very, very generous, and hopefully paying it forward, starting at Dragon Con in Atlanta. So
that'd be good. I'm glad. You have a lot of fun for the both of us.
I will, and I hope to, you know, get some FSL stuff in, and you know, it should be fun. It should be fun.
Can I say to you one of the, because we're also coming off of Nerdtacular, the Frog Pants convention, where a lot of our internet lookups go. Lookups? I didn't want to say heroes, so that was the only word that came to mind. But a lot of the people that we kind of respect on the internet kind of go and hang out and make content together and do all that cool stuff. And it was just funny because Curly was there, and in his, you know, getting to hang out and talk to those people, and as much as he could, he streamed as much as he could. He would always like be like, oh yeah, you know, and like all the DKG stuff is really cool, and like Kaz does this and Kaz does that. And then the thing I have come to realize more and more is the more and more of our friends that go and meet these people, the more, and I know you've gone and you've met them and you've had the conversations with them, but the less I do it, but the more other people I know do it, and then my name gets mentioned, but then these people still have no idea who I am, is the funniest thing to me, right? It is the, like, the greatest, funniest thing ever to me.
But I guess the DKG show is not on DiamondClub.tv, is it?
The game show is not, because we've kept it in beta, so we've actually... No, T2 has put it on Diamond Club.
Because here's the thing. A3K has been on for a while. So is Fanny Pack. There have been times where I've been on Diamond Club TV like 3 times a week.
Yeah, I just realized that.
Jesus Christ. You guys must be sick of me now.
But see, everything, like, streaming-wise is under T2's name. So, like, if you just look and you see the stream, it says T2. So, they probably just think, oh, T2 streaming something.
yeah. But, yeah, I'm going to Dragon Con. I even hear my girl Tay Allen's gonna be there. So, that's awesome. Kind of awesome. Pedro is going to be there, of course, because he goes to everything.
He's at everything. Yeah.
He goes to everything. Petey Rave, you go to everything.
Right.
So
we're going to have to limit him next year so he can have
money. Seriously. 2016, Petey, you're going to be at a limit, okay?
Well, no, 2016, he wants to try to go to Korea. So, but I'm going to make sure he doesn't go to too many other things in also then trying to do that.
Yeah, that's the plan right now, Kaz. We're wrapping this up with the plan to make sure that Petey Rave does not stretch himself out and does not spoil his trip to Korea. That's what we're doing right now. So until the next time we do this podcast sometime in 2016, Brandon Cooper, it's great to talk to you again, my friend.
Well, it's good to talk to you. Hello. Yeah. Hello. Hello, goodbye.